Have you ever wondered what creatures hide in the depths of majestic lakes or the sea? Well, you're not going to find any there, because they all live in this crap hole. First things first, the name's Gina. I work on and around the large river that flows through my hometown. It parts in an enormous lake on one end and connects to God knows what it's on the other side. Also, it's terribly, and I mean terribly dirty. I don't know how people got a natural body of water to this point of pollution, but I do know once I saw an entire shopping bag float by. When I stopped to examine it, I found dozens of eggshells inside. The river does have its upsides though. When you drop your phone around here, you always have enough time to fish it back out. Objects thrown into the water, they just don't sink right away. I don't know if it's the trash in this river or some sort of benevolent supernatural force protects them from being swallowed. I like to think it's the latter. In waters as dark as these, it should come as no surprise that a lot remains unseen. However, having spent almost every day in the last 2 years out on the lake and river, I have more or less willingly discovered quite a few things about these waters. My job requires me to basically take on in any all requests of people wanting to go across one side of the river to the other. I was indeed hired though, well, sort of. I suppose a profession as strange as this has no way of having a normal beginning. It happened 2 years ago. It was a cloudy, muggy day, but I wanted to go to the lakeside anyway because I used to take daily walks down there. It was a sort of like a ritual. I was strolling along the riverbank when it suddenly started to rain. I had nothing with me, no umbrella, not even a hood, and it would take me over an hour to get back home, so I decided to run and look for shelter instead. I found a small wooden shed in the middle of a cluster of riverside bushes and trees. It was one of those open garage things, so I figured it wouldn't bother anyone by standing there for a little while. I quickly hid inside and waited. The rain, however, simply wouldn't stop. I was almost starting to fall asleep, standing upright, leaning against one of the shed's walls, my eyes fluttered shut, only to snap back open when a voice tore me out of my bored slumber. I let out a startled yelp when I found a man dressed in a long, oversized yellow raincoat. Standing in the hut's entrance in front of me. His hood was up, obscuring the better half of his face. I'm sorry, I called out, raising my voice to drown out the noise of the pouring rain and distant thunder. The storm surprised me, I quickly explained. I just needed a dry place to stay. Is this yours? I added. The man stepped inside, patted off his raincoat, but didn't take off the hood. Now that he was standing beside me, I could hear him much better. When he spoke, he sounded flustered and frantic. Not really. Hey, do you want a boat? What? What do you mean, what? I said, do you want a boat? I took a step towards the exit, backing away from him. I was by now very much convinced that he was, in fact, a crazy person. No, you can't go now. He leapt forward and grabbed me by the wrist. My heart stopped for a moment, and for a second or two, all I could do was hold his gaze, too afraid to break it. You can't go now, he repeated, his voice flattened and stern. What do you want? I asked. I was trying not to sound scared, but I don't think it worked. I want you to do something for me. I'm going to take it off my hands. What? He leaned in a little closer and quietly responded. The boat. Look, I don't want your boat. If you let me go now, I won't tell anyone this happened. His grip on my hand tightened so much, it actually hurt. I winced and he pulled me even closer. I noticed he had a chipped front tooth and I could even feel his breath on my cheeks as he spoke. I had expected the stench of alcohol or something, but he actually smelled of sort of normal. You're not gonna run off. You're taking the damn boat, so help me God. He reached for his collar and pulled something off his neck, only to reveal it to me as a small golden necklace with a tiny key-shaped pendant. He let go of my wrist and began to fiddle around with it, trying to put it on me. The second his hand was off, though, I made a break for the exit. Wait! The man shouted after me. Don't you dare! I could hear his heavy stomps as he hurried to follow me. Looking over my shoulder, I caught a glimpse of the man running after me, his boots sending mud splashes on his raincoat. He was still holding the necklace out like he was going to try and throw it at me like a lasso. I was contemplating my possible means of escape. I was in an alright physical condition, but running in the rain in unfit clothes like this would tire me out quickly, especially since I was already starting to freeze. I had my cell phone on me, sure, but trying to get out and call for help would slow me down as much as well. I'd have to hide somewhere to buy my time and make the call from there. My mind racing, I looked around frantically. There was some trees lining in the river nearby. I ran towards them, thinking they would give me cover. A glance behind me had me speed up, seeing the man with the necklace was closing the distance between us at an alarming pace, and I slipped. I fell face first into the dirt. My head made painful contact with what I believe had been a stone, and that's all I could remember before passing out. I woke up on dry, solid ground with a throbbing pain in my skull. I didn't have a lot of time to think about the change in the surrounding before throwing up. As I bent over, watching the contents of my stomach pour out into the white, smooth floor I was sitting on, I noticed something dangling from my neck. Something golden and shiny. I was so out of it, the first thing I thought was something of the tune of, "Oh hey, free necklace," before the memory of the stranger who had chased me down with it came flooding back in. It was then that the other things began to register as well, like the clear sky up above. It wasn't raining anymore. I frowned in confusion as I started to look around. I was on a large roundabout boat with two seats in front and a row of space for four people in the back. The seats were padded and pretty, and I instantly regretted having been sick all over the formerly clean floor. The boat was all the way out on the river too. I wonder how it had gotten here. I was all alone on it. I figured maybe the madman had dropped me here and pushed it out into the water. But that wasn't the only weird thing. I noticed none of the insides were wet despite the rain earlier. Sure, I would have suspected the boat had been protected from the weather somehow, but this begged the question for how long it had been out. I crawled up into the front seat to take a look at the steering wheel. Truth be told, I didn't know smack about boats, and I don't to this day. I don't even know how to drive a car. I did need to get back on land though, and I certainly wasn't going to try and swim. A look into the murky black water was enough to erase the idea from my mind. I tried to look for any buttons or levers or at least an ignition to get this thing started, but I couldn't find anything. However, when I dizzily rested my hands on the steering wheel, the vessel lurched forward. I instinctively pulled back and clung to my seat. But the sudden movement was brief. The boat had stopped again just as quickly. I'm not sure how I got the idea into my head, but I carefully put my hands back into the steering wheel. I was expecting a jolt this time. I didn't let go. The thing was moving simply through me, touching it. Strangely yet, it made no sound as it did. The boat was completely quiet, no engine noise whatsoever. All I could hear was the water it pushed through splashing against its sides. I had a feeling that this was not some kind of new freak technology. This was weird. I managed to get the boat back into the riverbank and crawled outside of it. The solid ground beneath my feet felt weird. My legs were all wobbly and weak, and I was still a bit nauseous. I took off the necklace and carefully placed it on a small heap of dirt. I then pushed the boat back into the water and hopped on, just before it could get too far. When I touched the steering wheel this time, nothing happened. I waded back into the land, grabbed the necklace and put it back on, only to truly return to the boat. My pant legs and shoes were wet and dirty, but I didn't care. Like I thought, this time I could move the boat again. I remember thinking it was some weird kind of magic, only to realize it probably truly was. There was no one around the river that afternoon, so my little experiment had remained a witness. So had the attack on my person prior to it. Maybe it was a blow to the head that I had taken, but when I realized the thing about the boat, I kind of forgot all about that strange man. Instead, I began to drive. I got the roundabout all the way into the large lake I mentioned earlier. I'd never spent a lot of time there, but a part of the stretch from the water, and occasionally bits of trash floating by, I actually enjoyed myself. I was so fascinated by the odd qualities of this vessel that something very important only registered much later. The boat was pretty great, so why had the man in the yellow raincoat had been so desperate to get rid of it? That question would be answered when I noticed a figure standing on the other side of the lake. It was a woman with bleached blonde hair, waving me down. I was confused to say the least, but someone waving wasn't the strangest thing that had happened that day. I obediently drove up to her. The lady definitely looked out of place. She was wearing a sleek suit, blue tie, her hair was tucked into the neatest bun I had ever seen, and she was eyeing me suspiciously from behind square glasses. I estimated her to be in her mid-40s or so. As I approached, she pulled her gray overcoat tighter around her shoulders. "Who are you?" Her voice was deep for that of a woman, and her tone gave me the chills for a second. She did not sound pleasant. It actually took me a while to remember my name. The whole situation had me so dazzled. I was stammering when I finally got out my wits together and told her my first name. Not my full name, of course. Grayson, a sneaky bastard. She said this more to herself than me. When she looked up again, though, there was almost something akin to pity in her eyes. "You prayed it. Do you have a job?" "No." "Well, you do now. It comes with the boat. It's not difficult, though. I'm sure you're going to do it just fine. If you don't try to run away like Grayson did, you're not going to get in trouble." I didn't really know what to say. I could only guess that the Grayson guy was the guy in the raincoat. In case you didn't tell, I'm a very docile person, so when she tossed me a black bag with something squishy inside and told me to dump it out far onto the lake, I did as she said. She waited for me by the edge of the water, and when I returned, she gave me a curt nod. "This is what you're going to do now. I want you out here every day. We're going to come by maybe 5 or 6 times a week and tell you where to dump our waste. You'll get $300 for every time you do, starting now." She came as far up to me as she could and handed me a banknote. I stuffed it into my pocket without questioning her. "Just so you know, you really have to show up every day. Don't get it in your head to try and leave once things get difficult. And if you ever look inside one of those bags, well, let's just say you'll be throwing away a wonderful business opportunity. That's all you need to know." She gave me something that would have passed a sweet smile if it went for her icy stare. And that's how it all started. I started out knowing very little about the lake and the river, but time brings experience. I know more about the guy with the chipped tooth who forced a boat onto me now, too. Long story short, he looked into one of the bags and got into big trouble. It would have been probably even bigger trouble if he hadn't found someone to fill his position. I might share some more information about him sometime later. The thing is, there's a lot of things going on here more people should know about, and I had a lot of time on my hands. Weird bags filled with squishy stuff that needs to disappear into the water are only the beginning. By the way, I've never looked inside them. I'm not stupid. That's not to say I don't know what's in them, though. Hope you guys enjoyed today's story. Thank you guys for listening. Now, huge thanks to the Redditor u/girlfromthecrypt for granting me permission to narrate your amazing story. Now, once more, I hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you guys in the next story. So, don't forget to sit back, relax, and indulge in fear.